Well, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're on the road at the Minnesota State Fair for Military Appreciation Day. And in a moment, we're going to meet our co-host for the show. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Each year at the State Fair, we join members from communities throughout Minnesota and honor veterans. This year, it's my privilege to stand with women veterans as we recognize and celebrate their service and sacrifice. Even before the Declaration of Independence was signed, women were serving as nurses and cooks in military camps in support of the Revolutionary War. Their invaluable contributions spanned the preservation of the Union and two world wars. Despite nearly two centuries of service, it wasn't until 1948 that women were allowed to become permanent members of the military. Having the honor of volunteering to serve was just the beginning. Women service members spent the next seven decades overcoming obstacles and breaking down barriers. During Korea and Vietnam, they deployed to forward combat zones and aboard ships. In 1976, they were admitted to four of the five service academies. By 1993, women pilots were flying combat missions. And finally, in 2016, the Department of Defense opened all combat jobs to women service members. Please join me in honoring these extraordinary women, past and present, as we celebrate their resiliency and exceptional service to the United States of America.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Shalito. Commissioner, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, yes, good to be back. How's the weather out there?
Well, Commissioner, it's a little bit wet today out at the Minnesota State Fair, but nonetheless, we're celebrating our women veterans for Military Appreciation Day. You know, Commissioner, things have changed a lot since you and I were in Vietnam. There were mostly guys and very few women, and they were mostly in medical. But over the past four or five decades, that's changed tremendously.
That's right. And, you know, just kind of interesting, but just to tie it up, tie in something recently that happened to me, I had the honor of showing the head of the Veterans Cemeteries out of the VA, giving a tour out at Preston. And with him was a lady from Minnesota, a Pamela Powers, a retired Air Force colonel, who is now the chief of staff of the Department of Veterans Affairs.
And that was at the new Minnesota Veterans Cemetery in Preston.
That's right. That's right. So Minnesota's got is well connected all across the state, the nation.
Well, Commissioner, this has been a busy week or two here. We're honoring women at the state fair, and the American Legion here in town has their 100th convention. They had their first convention here 100 years ago, and a big convention now. I'm sure you've been involved with that.
Yes. In fact, I'm an honorary host, I guess, of that. I was over there yesterday visiting with the people, and in fact, my wife and I will be back over there this evening for a their closeout keynote banquet. So it's, yeah, it's been a good day. And unfortunately or fortunately, I'm not sure, it depends on what you like, but the weather has been, for the Vietnam veterans, I think I just want everyone to remember that this is what the monsoon season looked like over there.
Oh, this is much easier than that, Commissioner.
Yeah. Yeah, just raining and it would stop and then off you go.
This is Minnesota Military Radio on the road today from the Minnesota State Fair for Military Appreciation Day, and we've been talking to Commissioner Larry Shalito. And Commissioner, we're joined now by Dave Bellify, one of your troops at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. He's a Navy veteran, served with the 2nd Fleet. And Dave, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's always great to be here.
And can you tell us a little bit about your role working for the commissioner?
Sure, absolutely. My role, I'm the Director of Education and Employment for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. So in that particular role, there's four major areas that we have. The Higher Education Veterans Program, which are our staff members out on the Institutes of Higher Learning throughout Minnesota. Ironically, yesterday was the first day of fall semester at our public institutions. So about 10,000 individuals in Minnesota are returning back to school using their GI Bill and education benefits, and ultimately looking for living wage, sustainable full-time employment. And then a second area is my state, the state approving agency, which would approve those programs that those individuals are using on institutes of higher learning, the Minnesota GI Bill, and our veteran employment initiatives.
Now, Dave, when the commissioner and I got back from Vietnam, the GI Bill was kind of simple. You went to one office, and there was one kind of thing you filled out, and you got it. But there's a lot of choices in the program now, isn't it?
There are many complexities with state and federal benefits. The GI Bill has six different chapters within it. There have been substantial changes to those GI Bills. And, of course, our state benefits also kind of compound that complexity. So our staff are out on those campuses assisting those men and women who are returning, getting into institutes of higher learning or apprenticeship programs or the trades or flight schools, any sort of training that we can have approved here in Minnesota, again, leading out to ultimately sustainable full-time employment for those men and women.
And, Dave, I understand there's some special rules for our reserve and guard troops. If they're deployed for, say, the 34th Infantry Division is going to deploy for a year, and they come back, do they earn some benefits from the GI Bill as well?
Absolutely. So they'll also have some state benefits that are with that. But the federal GI Bill, they would be eligible for the post 9/11 or what we call Chapter 33 GI Bill, which will pay tuition and fees directly to the institution. It'll give our men and women a housing allowance, and it also provides a book stipend for those individuals as they're attending their courses.
Commissioner, this is all a bit more complicated than it was when you and I came back. It's a good thing you've got people on your staff like Dave that can help all of our veterans sort it out.
You know, it's bringing flashbacks here. I tell you, when I came back home, everything I planned to do, because I had graduated from college, then I got in the service. When I came back, everything I thought I was going to do, I didn't want to do. So a good buddy of mine says, go see the veteran education guy over here. Here's his name. And I got back into college, picked up a second degree, and it got a job. And from the job, I promoted all the way through. So, yes, we don't know what we don't know. But what Dave is doing in the education is a very safe and positive way of moving forward. I always tell people, if you got a big gap in your resume, that's kind of wrong. Going back to school fills those gaps, and it's good. It's a good, right thing to do.
So, Dave, we have listeners all over the state on 56 stations these days for Minnesota Military Radio, and if they're out there and they think they might be eligible for some GI benefits, how do they contact you? How do they learn more about this?
Absolutely. They can show up at an institute of higher learning and get into one of those veterans resource centers. They can go out to MinnesotaVeteran.org, our website. They can go to MyMilitaryEducation.org, or they can call 888-LINK-VET, which is 888-546-5838, and ask the questions that they have, and we can certainly connect the dots to their education benefits. And one thing I want to mention also that's a little known fact about the commissioner, of course we all know he's a retired general, of course we know he's a Vietnam vet, and he has exemplary service, but a lot of folks are not aware that he earned his ranks, if you will, in the higher education system, was a faculty member, and became a president of one of our Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. So,
up in Alexandria.
Up in Alexandria, absolutely. Yeah, so that's something that not everyone knows, but we also want to ensure that folks are aware that the commissioner is certainly deeply rooted into education.
Commissioner, you've got Dave well briefed.
Yes, Dave, you did well. No, but honestly, and I remember when we were doing a lot of deployments when the Red Bulls went over there, and coming back, I was on stage in St. Cloud at the university, and I saw a young man and a young girl sitting there, and we're doing the pitch, on the education and the benefits, and they were holding hands, and I said, we are doing the right thing. It's just absolutely wonderful.
Commissioner, we got to take a short break. When we come back, Dave Bellafai will be with us, and Kim Dobler is going to join us, talk about the Women's Veterans and Gold Star Family Programs at the MDVA. Can you stay with us for one more segment, sir?
I certainly can.
All right, this is Minnesota Military Radio on the road at the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're on the road today at the Minnesota State Fair for the Military Appreciation Day, and the theme out here is our women veterans. We're honoring them today, and my co-host for this part of the show has been Commissioner Larry Shalito from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Commissioner, we had a nice chat with Dave Bellify about higher education, and he's still with us, and we're going to introduce now Kim Dobler, who is in charge of Women Veterans and Gold Star Family Coordinator. Kim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
It's good to be back.
Commissioner, Women Veterans is the theme out here at the fair today. And, of course, it's appropriate that we have Kim on. But you've got some great staff over there that take care of all kinds of programs and services. And Women Veterans programs have been something that you've worked on real hard for the last 5 or 6 years, isn't it?
Actually longer, a lot longer. But first of all, the work that is done is absolutely phenomenal. Probably the trigger for me was on the Gold Star family side, where when they came back home, you start to see the issues that occurred even in our era. Well, pretty much all military years. That transition home. So the combination of, and the women and being involved in the service that they do, they have special issues. So it's a high priority for me. It's a high priority for this agency, and we're very, very blessed to have key people in charge of that, making things happen.
And Kim, I understand you've got about 18 years in the Minnesota Army National Guard as an HR NCO, and that should give you some good insights into some of the issues that women may have while they're serving in the military.
I do. As a veteran and spending my time in Iraq in 08 and 09, the position that I hold for both women veteran and Gold Star family, I hold deeply to my vest because of those two factors. Doing medevac in Iraq, you tend to not hope for the call for any of our guys to go out there to retrieve anybody. But if they did, that they had the amount of respect coming in and out of theater. So I take that to the highest emotional state when it comes to dealing with any aspect of my job.
And you've had the tremendous opportunity to join the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and work on women's programs over there. Can you tell us about some of what you do?
In November, I'll approach my first year of completion with MDVA. And with that position with women veterans, I deal with both federal and state benefits, meaning that I communicate their benefits, what they qualify for, how they can qualify for it, and help them every step of the way to retrieve it. Also, I deal with outreach. So it's doing events like this where I get to speak on all aspects for women so that they know what they can and can't benefit for.
So you get to stand in the rain with the rest of us and talk to the commissioner and all of our listeners all over Minnesota. Kim, we've had some folks on from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, and they've told us that they've done a great job of expanding the women's clinic out there. I understand they can do anything except deliver a baby.
That's the one thing they can't do, but just September, they were awarded with being the number one. So being Minnesota and we're number one, we tend to strive that way. So anytime I can speak about medical benefits for women vets, I'm the first one to yell about it.
Now, Kim, is it still possible that some of our women vets are a little apprehensive about going out to the VA Medical Center? They're doing everything they can to make it a friendly place for the women vets.
We're doing everything we can to ensure that they feel safe when they walk in the halls. With Sister to Sister, that program has made everyone feel more relaxed to come through. But, yes, the VA does have its negative annotations here and there. But with the more things that we're able to do to promote the good things coming from it, hopefully the good will outweigh the bad.
And if you call out there, they tell me that they'll have an escort that'll walk you through and show you where to go out on the campus and make it a little nicer. There are a bunch of old vets out there, and some of us aren't very pretty.
If you go to the Women's Veteran Initiative, there is a program underneath it called Sister to Sister. You make your appointment, and there is another female veteran that will be there from start to finish. They'll meet you in the hallway coming in. They'll come to your appointment. They'll explain what the doctor has said so you know what's going to take place, and they'll walk you in and out. So anytime you have any anxiety, there's someone there to hold your hand.
What a great program.
It is.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we're on the road again today at the Minnesota State Fair in the rain, but we're celebrating Women Veterans Day and Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair. And Kim, what a great theme for this year. You must be, it's perfect for what you do, for everything you do in the military and at the MDVA.
For someone who's still wearing the uniform and for those outside during Monday through Friday, this is a fantastic day for women veterans. We can showcase that you are not invisible, that you are being seen. And even with rain, I'm surprised how many people are stomping around here getting as much information in the expo today.
Well, I hope all the women veterans out here come over and get a cap. I understand that's supposed to be at noon right here, pretty close to us.
At 12 o'clock, we are giving out caps, and I actually brought a few with me, so I have two boxes underneath the MDVA location. So if you have not received a cap yet, they can always come to me, and I'll have a few.
Woman veteran. I don't think that would look very good on me, so I'll pass on that one.
Oh, anyone can wear these hats.
Commissioner, you have some great employees, and looks like Kim's doing a wonderful job. You've got to be proud of what your staff's been doing to support our women veterans.
Yes, absolutely.
Kim, I think we lost the commissioner, but I know...
No. He was speechless. He is.
I think I'm still here. I hope
he's
I am.
Speechless? She says you're speechless, Commissioner.
I've been, you know... Dave kind of said earlier, in my prior life, I had a lot of traveling, and I have a very fond memories of flying through Afghanistan and Iraq, both of them in helicopters, and the pilots and the crew and so forth consisted of women. And they were up, there was no separation. Once they put the uniform on, they were transparent. They were very, very powerful. So it is absolutely critical. And that we honor them. It's we just assume some of the old history stuff, but the women have stepped forward and just done an outstanding job.
And Kim, as a woman veteran, you've got to be happy with the fact that just about every job in the military is open to women now. I think they all are, aren't they?
They are.
That's got to be fabulous to have that choice.
It is a fantastic opportunity to just be able to choose instead of initially when your idea was you can be a secretary or you can be a nurse. Now that opportunity has expanded to the point where I can be anything I want to be. That's something that is my individuals that paved the way for me didn't have that opportunity. So myself, reaching almost 20 years, I truly hope the person that is filling the boots after I leave understands the amount of opportunity that is out there for them now. Because before, it wasn't there.
And it's as it should be. And the women joining the military today have all the choices are open. Whatever they're capable of, whatever they want to do, they can apply for, and they've got a good chance to get it.
If you raise your hand to say you want to serve your country, then serve your country fully.
Kim, we've just got about a minute left for all our listeners out there, the women veterans out there. If they have questions about anything related to their military service, how do they get a hold of you, and how does that all work?
If you haven't reached out to your CVSO for your county, you can certainly get a hold of me, which is KimberlyLY.Dobler@state.mn.us, and you can reach me, and I can help direct you any way I can.
And Dave, you're still with us. There's a general. Is it 1-888-LINKVET for just about anything?
Anything as well. If Kim is on the road, as she mentioned, participating in many different events, and I would recommend 888-LINKVET. Again, that's 888-546-5838, and we can certainly get those women connected to Kim.
Dave and Kim, thanks for joining us out here at the fair. And Commissioner, we got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts?
I want to just say thank you, Tom, for all that you have done for us. It's been tremendous. Thank
Commissioner,
you.
Commissioner, it's been a pleasure, Commissioner, to tell the story of all the programs and services and homes at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And it's great to talk to you, and hopefully we'll see you in person soon on another show.
Okay, will do.
Thank you, Commissioner. This is Minnesota Military Radio on the road from the Minnesota State Fair on the day of Military Appreciation Day. When we come back, we're going to talk about transitioning peer management with the Minneapolis VA. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today we're out at on the road again at the Minnesota State Fair in the rain for Military Appreciation Day, and the theme out here this year is Women Veterans. And we've had some great guests on the show, and we have one now from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Her name is Donna Paul, and she is a transition patient advocate working with veterans transitioning from active duty to veteran. And Donna, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's kind of a funny day. Most years out here, it's nice and bright and hot. And this year, it's a little bit rainy, and I'm glad you've got a sweatshirt there and you're comfortable. I understand now that you served in the active duty in the Navy.
Yes, sir, I did. I spent 22 years on active duty. First duty station was in Corpus Christi, Texas. Served at a squadron there. And from there, I moved to various other stations, retired from Minneapolis at the Raycom Center after 22 years of active duty service.
And what type of positions did you hold in the Navy? What type of job?
When I first joined the military as an Airedale, I was striking to become an aircraft mechanic. Did that for about 8 months, and my boss talked me into becoming a yeoman. So I switched rates about a year into the military. And from there, I rarely worked in my rate. As a yeoman, you get to pretty much pick and choose where you want to work and what you want to do. So I did anything from shore patrol to intel. You named it, I did it.
And you got to travel from Texas to Italy to Louisiana and then back up here in Minneapolis.
Absolutely.
So pretty good career.
Absolutely.
And now you work at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, and you've been there since 2003?
Yes, sir. I started in June 18th of 2003.
And your current position is transition case management. You're helping soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen transition from active duty to veteran. How long have you been doing that?
I've been doing that since 2008. I'm actually a transition patient advocate, so I work with some of the case managers there at our program. And what we do there, we help all the new vets that are returning from combat, help them get reintegrated, making sure that they have a case manager assigned to them, make sure that they get mental health, primary care, any services that they need. We help them navigate those systems, get them into the healthcare system, enroll them in the healthcare system. We also have lots of other resources that we work outside of our VA with, and they help veterans get established with the healthcare benefits that they need on the outside also.
So these are returning veterans. Most of them probably have some type of medical issue, or they wouldn't be at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. And they're transitioning from a career like you had into being a civilian. Now, when you transitioned, did you have any trouble with that?
I did, because this program was not in existence when I got out of the military. So it's kind of a trial period that you go through when you got out back then. You know, being in the military and actually going to the Minneapolis VA for my health care while I was on active duty, that helped make the transition a little bit better. But a lot of the soldiers that are out there, military members out there, they don't go to the VA and get their health care while they're on active duty. They go out in the civilian world. So it was a little bit easier for me because I was already in the system. So what we do with our program, we actually go out and we meet people reintegration programs or yellow ribbon events, and we get them into the VA that way, making sure that they know their benefits.
Now, 22 years in the Navy,
yes,
you had
sir.
Uniforms to wear every day. You knew where you're supposed to be every day. You know what time chow was. It was kind of easy, wasn't it?
Absolutely easy. So it was a little bit difficult coming out of the military because you have that structure when you're in the military. You know everything you're going to do for that day. So, you know, once I got out of the military, I had to go buy civilian clothes. I had some, but, you know, you're so used to wearing uniforms all the time. So just, you know, trying to reintegrate back into being a civilian again was very tough after 22 years.
A lot of choices that you have to make.
Lots of choices.
Now, what are the biggest challenges our veterans have when they come to the VA?
I don't know that they're challenges. Our program is set up to where, you know, the veterans can actually call in. They can talk to the doctors online now through TMed programs that we have. Some of the challenges that they may have are just being able to get to their appointments. They may not have a car. They may have children at home or they're working. and they may not be able to break away from work to get to the appointment. So that's more of the challenges that the veterans face. Once they get to the VA hospital, we take care of them. We hold their hands until they're established with health care benefits. We are always there when they need us. So if they come back to us 5 years later, we're there for them again.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we're broadcasting today on the road from Minnesota State Fair for the occasion of the Military Appreciation Day, and the theme this year is our women veterans, and we're speaking to Donna Paul, who is a transition patient advocate at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. And Donna, Sergeant Johnny just came over, and he gave you a cap, a women veterans cap, so you don't have to worry. It's noon, and you know you've got your cap, so that's good, isn't it?
Exactly. It's actually a beautiful cap, so I really appreciate it, and I'm going to wear it with pride.
Kind of exciting to have the theme this year, women veterans, isn't it?
Absolutely. It was the talk of the VA hospital. Everybody kept saying, when's this parade? Where do we line up? So everybody's really excited about being here today. We don't care if it's raining. We're going to support our female veterans. So.
And there'll be a parade coming up in a couple hours.
And, yes, sir.
And that should be fun to watch. Now, how do you do outreach at the VA? How do you find the women veterans and the other veterans that need help transitioning from military to civilian?
Okay. So I have a wonderful program manager. Her name is Jill Vinge. She actually goes out and sets up all these outreach opportunities. So we go to reintegration programs, whether it's Yellow Ribbon. We actually have three transition patient advocates that work in our program. And we actually go to all of the colleges here in the Twin Cities. So I cover the U of M, Hennepin Tech, North Hennepin Community College, Anoka Ramsey. And the other two TPAs have other colleges that they go to and they visit with the vets. We make sure that all the vets that are attending the colleges have the opportunity to get enrolled in health care benefits through the VA. We sit down with them, fill out applications. We also help them with claims. If they have any illnesses or injuries, we sit down, we file claims with them also. So we're always out there. At any event, you'll see us. One of us from our program is always at the outside events.
It's got to be really helpful when the Guard has the reintegration programs with the 30, 60, 90 day, and you can be there.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes they might not want help when they first come home because they just want to get home.
That's true.
But 30 or 60 days down the road, they're going, oh, I got a little problem here. How can I get some help? And you're there.
Absolutely. We have veterans that we've given our cards out to years ago, and they never use us, and now they come. They say, hey, I kept your card in our wallet. So the good thing is they know about us. We won't give up. We'll keep outreaching to them.
Now, Donna, I'm a patient at the VA Medical Center because of some problems I had with Agent Orange. And I found out my experience has been fabulous out there. All the employees out there are just wonderful. A lot of them are veterans, so they know what we've all gone through. But it's got to feel good for you to be helping today's veterans after you served for so many years, and now you've been out there serving with the VA for 15 years. Did you find your job satisfying? You're smiling a lot.
I do. I love reaching out to my vets. My heart, you know, I love working with vets. That's why I chose to come back to the VA hospital. I tell all vets I meet, because they have, you know, stories out there, oh, the VA's this and the VA's that. I tell them, don't judge the VA by someone else's opinion. You come and decide on yourself. I have TRICARE for life because I retired from the military, and I go to absolutely no other place other than the VA hospital. I love the care I get there. I don't say it because I have to. I say it because I truly, truly mean it.
Well, I'm with you, and nobody pays me to say that.
Exactly.
So.
I don't get paid to say it either. So
the only thing that's a little scary sometimes is the blood draw room, because you go down there, and there's so many beat-up old veterans in there, it's a little scary. But they're all good guys.
Exactly.
And the people even there do just a wonderful job.
Phenomenal job.
You don't hardly even feel given blood. They do such a good job.
No, they talk to you the whole time. If you're, you know, have anxiety issues, they just talk to you the whole time. You don't even know that you're having blood drawn. So
they're very nice. Donna, we've got about a minute left for all our listeners around Minnesota. If they need some help transitioning, how do they get a hold of you? How do they find you?
They can call our main call center number, which is 612-467-1100. And talk to eligibility. They'll get you enrolled. Or you can come into the VA hospital, enter into the flag atrium, go to the eligibility desk, and they'll have a 1010 easy application waiting for you.
And if they didn't get that number, they can go to just look it up online, the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, and go to that website, because they've got all kinds of information there, and they got the phone number. Just call in, tell them what your problem is, and they'll help you get an appointment. And, of course, if you're out state and you need a ride, the DAV has vans, and talk to your county veteran service officer. They can help get you there.
Yes, sir.
So you must work closely with the County Veteran Service Officers.
We do. Well. I actually used to work really close. I used to be the supervisor for travel, so we worked really close on getting all of our vets to and from their appointments.
Well, Donna, I'd like to thank you for joining us on this rainy day at the State Fair, and please keep up the good work at the Minneapolis VA.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
That was Donna Paul, Transition Patient Advocate at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us when we come back. We're going to visit with USAA at the State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today we're on the road out at the Minnesota State Fair on a kind of a rainy day, but there's a lot of folks out here for Military Appreciation Day, and the theme this year is Women Veterans, and we've been talking about that the whole show. It's a great theme. We're joined now by some members of the USAA Insurance, Mike Evans and Mike Kelly. Mike Evans, I want to start with you. I think we've had you on the radio at the fair here how many times? Quite a few years.
Yeah, it's been about 6 years now.
And part of the reason we bring you out here is because USAA is supportive of Military Appreciation Day and actually sponsors this event.
Yeah, we've been the presenting sponsor now for the last 6 years in a row, and it's really our honor and privilege to be part of this event.
And Mike, you served in the military, and you work Minnesota.
Yeah, I've served in the Army for 25 years, and in my area of responsibility is Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Dakota, and South Dakota.
You know, you could be mistaken for military today. You still got the high and tight haircut.
Yeah, you know, I promised my wife I'd let my hair grow out when I retired, and it didn't work out very well.
Mike, we had a special guest last year, and you brought him back this year. Do you want to introduce him to our listening audience?
Sure. I got Mike Kelly with us. He's the assistant vice president of our military advocacy group, and he actually called and said, Mike, please bring me back to the Minnesota State Fair. So here we are.
I had so much fun last year, I wanted to come back.
Well, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you.
We had a little better weather last year, but I guess we'll get through this. We've all seen worse when we were in the military, and you still have to get the job done, don't you?
That's right. When the battlefield's wet, you operate wet, right?
That's right.
That's probably surprising coming from an Air Force guy that I would say that.
But yeah, I thought the Air Force guys went inside when it rained.
You know, when I was in Vietnam, you can't get away from the monsoons. We were out there with the rest of you. Although you were out in front, and we were just given top cover, right, Mike Kelly?
That's right.
Can you give us, Mr. Kelly, a little background about USAA? Your position is Assistant Vice President of Military Affairs. What's that mean?
Well, we have a team at USAA, about 60 of us, who are all former military, who are out engaging with our members and prospective members every single day, demonstrating USAA support for them as a military member. So this event is a great example of what we do. So Mike is our guy here in Minnesota, and Mike every single day is out engaging with our members, sharing with them the great products and services that USAA has to offer, as well as other things that we can support them with, what their objectives are. So financial readiness, what are some other family support events that you get involved with locally?
We do a lot of the yellow ribbon events, so the pre-deployment, post-deployment, family days, holiday parties, all that kind of stuff. It seems the funding to our military units is decreasing, and we offer financial support so they can still do those kinds of things.
And Mike Kelly, for those people in our listening audience who might not know, USAA is kind of unique because you focus on veterans.
Absolutely. So we are a company that was formed by the military to serve the military. 1922 in San Antonio, Texas, about 25 Army officers got together because they could not get car insurance. At that time, the model was you needed a local agent who was, and you were investing into that pot of money. They moved around a lot. They did dangerous things, and nobody wanted to insure them. So they insured one another, and that's still how we operate today. We're a member-owned association, and we insure each other through a membership base of 12.4 million members.
Come a long way.
We have come a long way from those 25 officers in 1922. And we're 96 years old this year, not quite as old as the state of Minnesota, which I think is about 160 years old.
But I was afraid he was going to say not quite as old as me, but glad he didn't say that.
So we are focused on the military community, solely focused on the military community. And membership in USAA is based on your honorable service in the military. So any veteran that served honorably can be a part of the USAA family.
We're speaking to Mike Evans and Mike Kelly from USAA from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. And our military producer here is Sergeant Johnny Angelo. And Johnny, I understand You work with USA. You're a customer.
I am a member. I had a phone call. This is years ago after I first joined, after getting back from Iraq, and I had a phone call from a random insurance company looking to try to sell me some insurance. The first thing they asked is, what's your insurance company? I said, USAA. And they immediately said, we won't bother you again, sir. We can't touch those rates. So I like that. That's a good thing.
So, Mike, you don't lose very many policyholders, do you?
Typically, no, because... To be quite honest, it's more than just the price. It's the customer service that comes along with it and the commitment and understanding that USAA has. So one of our, we call it our brand signature, but it says we know what it means to serve. And I think that's an important aspect of being able to retain those members in USAA, because we work very hard at understanding our members. Many of us, about 23% of the 34,000 USA employees have served in the military or a military spouse. So we've walked in their shoes. We know what that lifestyle is like. So it's an important part of who we are and what we do. It's part of our DNA.
Johnny, it's kind of fun when you call in and ask a question. They say, how can I help you, Sergeant Angelo?
Oh, yeah. Or they'll say, congratulations on the promotion. I had somebody told me that the other day. That was kind of cool. You know, and the cool thing is, you can call anytime, and I got a human being answer the phone. Anytime. A Sunday afternoon, there was an issue. Anytime. That's right. Enough of the endorsement.
Yeah. From Sergeant
Yeah, we don't
Angelo.
Want you to get in trouble because you're wearing your uniform today.
He'll, correct. Yeah, he'll probably, we'll hear about that one. Gentlemen, this is Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair, and the theme this year is Women Veterans. Mike Kelly, can you tell us how important that is to you and USAA?
Incredibly important. I mean, being part of the veteran family matters not whether you're male or female. The important thing is that you served and you have earned those benefits of membership in USAA. But more importantly, this nation has to be focused on those unique issues that women veterans are facing today. Unemployment, underemployment, homelessness. You just had the... lady from the VA was on here today talking about some of those significant
transitioning from the military.
So the current unemployment rate for female veterans is about a percentage and a half higher than veterans. So they struggle with identity sometimes. They take off that uniform and they're trying to figure out, much like their male counterparts, what am I going to do with my life? Because they may have been doing something in the military, logistics or whatever. That's not what they want to do when they get out of the military. So it's a challenge to help figure out what it is they want to do. And unfortunately, some of them struggle and end up homeless or trying to get connected to the resources that can really help them find that direction they need.
And, Mike, we hear stories about that when soldiers deploy, even if they're gone for a year. That they say sometimes the easy part of it is to be deployed because you get up at the same time, you do the PT at the same time, you go to work, you go home. But the spouse that's left at home still has to take care of the children, still has to do all of these various things.
Right.
So it's like that when you get out of the military. It's not as structured. There are a lot of choices,
right,
a lot of things you have to figure out. And one of them is what kind of liability that you can, exposure that you can live with and still get on with your life.
Well, exactly right. And as they struggle to figure out what they want to do and where they want to do it, that comes with challenges. I mean, if you don't have an income, you're going to have to rely on other people to help take care of you or house you. So I think that's why we see increased number of female veterans that are homeless as they struggle to figure it out what it is they want to do.
And you get a great opportunity out here at the Minnesota State Fair today to meet a lot of women veterans because there's a bunch of hats being given away.
Absolutely. You know, it might seem like a small affair, but for us to be able to provide those hats to those women that they can wear very proudly, I think that helps with their identity. And USAA is, hey, great, I see one right there next to me. Thank you, and thank you for your service. But it's an easy, simple way for us to help recognize that they served as well.
Mike was talking to Beth from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and she is a veteran, and she got one of those veteran caps. And I wouldn't try to take it away from her, Mike.
No.
Wouldn't be a good idea. Gentlemen, we got about a minute left. Any final thoughts about USAA and the Minnesota State Fair and Military Appreciation Day?
Well, I'd like to draw attention to the fact that we were named as a Yellow Ribbon Certified Company today, number 62 company in the state of Minnesota. So we're very, very proud of that. Mike brought this to my attention last year when I was here at the fair, and I said, we are going to fix that because we're very conspicuous by our absence. The fact that we were not a Yellow Ribbon company bothered me.
Well, we're glad you got that done.
Yes, so we got that done, and we're very proud to have received that proclamation today from the governor.
And one of the easy parts of that is you have to make a commitment to hire veterans, and you're doing it anyway.
We're already doing it, yep. In fact, in the last since 2006, we've hired about 14,000 veterans and spouses at USAA.
Well, gentlemen, great work. I hope to see you again here next year. And Mike Evans, I hope you have a great year, and bring him back, will you?
Well, you know, I'm going to invite him back next year, and obviously if he wants to come, we'll gladly take him. So it works out well.
Yep.
Thanks, gentlemen. That was Mike Evans and Mike Kelly from USAA. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dave Bellify, Kim Dobler, Donna Paul, Mike Evans, Mike Kelly from USAA, Commissioner Larry Shellitoe of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week for another show from the Minnesota State Fair that's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.